Second Kings, chapter 5, from verse 1 onwards. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." I want to stop right here, as the Holy Spirit wants me to. Now, you have heard many messages in this church through me, God speaking from this very chapter, chapter 5 of 2 Kings. You can go back and listen to those, each message that has been given by God. It is very different, very potent, and will bless you greatly. Today, God wants to speak something for this month of May, where God wants to bless you. God wants to expand you. God wants to cause your hearts to receive something brand new. This is who our God is. He gives something brand new. you look at Naaman. Naaman did not know anything about the living God. He didn't know. But God was so good to him. God saw faith in him. God blessed him. God prospered him. God had favor on him. He was a commander. He was a warrior. But yet, he was someone who had faith in God. He just didn't know the real God. He was someone who was genuine. And God's favor was upon him even when he didn't know God. God was with him and he blessed him. And as we read this chapter, we see that he had a disease. And this disease was an incurable disease during that time. And a disease that would completely incapacitate him after a period of time. And he won't be able to be this great commander. He won't be able to be with his family. He won't be able to do anything that he can accomplish with the strength and the skill and the brilliance and the diligence and all these things he had. But without good health, all these talents and abilities and experience becomes nothing. So he is faced with this dreadful disease, which is about to not only bring down his career, but bring down everything, isolate him, and completely destroy him. So the Lord God was merciful and who loved him, who gave him good success. Now he is showing a way out. But this way out is a way in. I want to say it again. The way out that God was bringing to Naaman was not just a way out of his problem, but it was a way into something far greater. Anytime you face a problem, when you know this living God, you'll get to know that even when you didn't know, he had his hand on you. And whatever problems happen in your life, it's because of God. God has not only provided a way out, but he brought you into his realm of glory. So this man had this leprosy. It's like a death sentence. It's like how someone says you have stage 4 cancer. He had everything that a man would have wanted to have. But now he's faced with this disease. That this disease was meant to destroy him. Even though God was with him, giving him favor, this disease came upon him to destroy him. But God said, no. I love you, Naaman. I'm going to bring you out of this and I'm going to bring you into a place that you had no knowledge of. Naaman had no knowledge of this place that God was going to take him into. So now, he has this little girl. God has this little girl in Naaman's house as his agent of blessing. She was little. She was a girl. But she had more power than this commander of Syria. When you have God in your life, you may be little, you may be considered a weaker vessel, you may be in a spot where the weak people are, so to speak, you may appear like you are in a disadvantaged place. But if you are in the hands of the living God, you are in the best place. Best place. This girl knew God, and this girl had God. If you look at this girl, the ministry of this little girl exceeded the ministry or the work of anyone in that place and in Israel when it came to taking a person directly to the source where the healing was. It is important to know that God places us in places so that we can be a blessing to those who are around us. Now she is in this place, in this house, as this insignificant maid to this wife of this famous, powerful commander of the entire army of Syria. So this girl, even though she was insignificant in the eyes of people, she was significant in the eyes of God. She had more power than the commander of Syria, because the commander of Syria had earthly power, but he had no solution for his problem. But this girl had the power of all powers, the Lord God Almighty, as her king and her God. She knew who her God was, and she knew who his prophet was, and she knew the source of healing, and she was this agent of blessing in the hands of God in this great commander's life. God used her in a mighty way to lead him to this prophet of God in Israel. I want to stop here for a minute, as the Spirit of God wants me to. In order for her words to be taken by Naaman's wife, to be able to tell Naaman that this is what this girl is saying, the girl must have had a very good relationship with Naaman's wife and Naaman. That means she was reliable. She was not someone who was lying. She was not someone who was twisting facts. They were able to believe her words. To make this trip all the way from this country to the other country, they were willing to do that because her words were deemed credible by Naaman's wife and Naaman. God is speaking to our hearts today. When you tell people about Jesus, when you invite people to the presence of God here, your words should bear witness, or your life should bear witness to your words. Anyone who is hearing your testimony should be able to believe that it's a true testimony. Now, there are two things here. One is your life, and two is the Spirit of God working through those words. When this girl spoke, they heard it, but they were convinced in their hearts that this prophet in Israel can heal. that impression comes from the Holy Spirit. Her words were trustworthy. She was trustworthy. But beyond that, the Spirit of God, who moved this girl to give this information to this commander's wife, moved the heart of the commander's wife and the commander. This is how God works. When God wants to bless you, he will move someone to lead you to that source of blessing. And when you yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit that comes from whoever it is, like this little girl was used by God to tell you, get to the house of God or get on the calls or come to where the Spirit of God is moving. Because there is a prophet in Israel. When those words come to you, it is important for you to take action. Naaman took action. All of a sudden, from a place of hopelessness, he moved to a place of healing because his faith shot up. If you look at Naaman, you will see, as you read a little further down this passage, that he came prepared with all the gifts and everything to give to this prophet of God once he received the healing. Now, only if you have faith can you do that. He already saw himself as healed. That's to say that I'm going to go there, I'll be healed, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give him these clothes and, you know, whatever he brought with himself to give to this prophet of God. Now, there's a reason why the prophet of God did not take from Naaman at that point. The reason we see right after that, it was something that God led Elisha to do. And it was a test for Gehazi. And it was a time for God to expose Gehazi and expel him out because he can't serve God and serve the prophet there with this kind of a heart. Wicked. Seeing so much that was done through the prophet of God. He had no reverence, no regard, no fear of God, no nothing. In fact, he was joining with the devil and he was working against the kingdom of God as his life was totally partnering with darkness, lies and covetousness and evil. Putting the prophet of God down also saying that, well, you don't know, I was here. So as you see that, there are times when the Spirit of God will say, receive. There are times when the Spirit of God will say, don't receive. There are reasons why God will say, don't receive. Not because Naaman was bad here, or not because the prophet should not receive. No, it was because it was a test for Gehazi. It was God who was going to bring this out in the open. But the point here is, Naaman the Syrian, who came from faraway place, was tremendously blessed by God because he was prepared to receive the blessing that God had. Naaman the leper, the commander, was in a far better place. When you look at Gehazi, who was right there, right next to the prophet of God. Why will someone do such a thing? But we have to just ask them that question. What's wrong with you? Why will you do such a thing? Why will you give room to the devil? Why will you lose that which God gave you? Why will you go so low and partner with the devil and go to the extent when you had everything from God? But you look at Naaman, He came with death and he went with life. He came with death and he returned back home with life. He had this faith. I got this news that this prophet of God is here and he will heal me of my leprosy. So I am going. And he saw himself as healed. That's what faith is. You see, Jesus Christ bringing his name in the New Testament during his ministry on earth. It's a big deal when Jesus mentions someone's name. It's a big deal. And he's also making a point there, which was, out of all the people in Israel, Naaman was the only one who got healed, and he was a Syrian. You see, this man had faith, and he believed in what she said, and he prepares himself to receive that, and he shows signs of faith, and he's going. So he has now, right now, Naaman has everything he needs, and he's making his journey now. He's going with the servants and he's prepared for his healing. He's prepared to receive everything and he's going and he sees himself healed. There's something God wants to speak to you, very important here this night. I'm not here to just simply tell a story, but to convey what the Holy Spirit wants me to convey while you listen to what happened to Naaman. So you see the favor of God going before him, and he went and asked the king would do anything for him, because Naaman was this very important person in his kingdom. Even to send him to the other king, who was from a different country, he said, I'll do anything for you, Naaman, I just want you to be healed, go. That's how important Naaman was. We need to understand this. Anytime we are valuable, then everything that needs to get done for that valuable person will get done to keep them. That goes in a company. When someone is bringing a lot of profit to the company, they will do anything to not lose that person. They'll say, I will give you this. You stay. You say, oh, no, they are giving me this. I'll give even more. Stay. Because this person is an asset to the company. This was the case with Naaman. And I want to translate this night into the spiritual realm. When you are of value to the kingdom of God, God will do anything for you. Anything. As King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, what do you want? Up to half of my kingdom, I will give to you. Because she was valuable in his sight. When you are an asset to the kingdom of heaven, God will give you everything you need. Now, God loves every single one. And God wants to bless every single one. But there is a special place for those who are of great value to God. They love God and God loves them. And God will do anything for them. Now you look at Naaman. Naaman was a commander. That means he went to war. He risked his life and he went to war. He led his entire army to battle. And he brought victory every single time. That's why the king said, I will do anything for you. And now he's giving this letter into Naaman's hands to go give to the king of Israel. And while he was writing this, something happened. You know how Satan will come and tamper with what you want to do. You want to do something really good and you end up messing it up and you wonder, I want to do something good and I don't know how I end up doing this. That I don't know how is where you need to understand. Satan will come to pervert that which is good and to cause problems and misunderstandings and all kinds of things. When a person is not in sync with God, these kinds of things will happen. When a person is in sync with God, whatever they're writing will be exactly the way it should be. Whatever they're doing will be exactly the way it should be. But when a person is not in sync with God, when they are trying to do something, the enemy will try to come and say something, and we think they are writing the right thing, but they'll be writing the wrong thing. They'll start with one and they'll end with something else, or in the middle, they'll do something. And many times people face loss as a result of that. They say, I want to do something. They say, God, let me do something. And they'll start with one thing and they'll end up in a disaster because somewhere in the middle, they listen to the voice of the stranger, the enemy. God is speaking to us today. Make sure you follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Make sure you are on point with God. Make sure you don't zigzag. Make sure you hear right and do right. And so now there's a big blunder that happens in the writing. Satan was able to wiggle his way into that letter and mess it up. Now the king of Israel is getting that. Now the enemy has already planned all these things very precisely. He said, I'm going to mess up this letter. And this letter goes there. I'm going to mess up the other guy's head because that guy is full of himself already. So he's a good candidate. So we're going to have this successfully done. We're going to return Naaman back as a leper. God is speaking to our hearts today. If we don't see what happens behind the scenes, you can get stuck. You can lose your blessing. You can actually fall flat on your face to the ground. Naaman didn't know any of these things. He's all happy. He says, oh, I got this letter. I'm going. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to come back. He's just imagining all these things and he's going so happy. He's going to Israel, the land where this prophet is and where the healing is going to take place. And he's making this journey of faith with all the gifts that he had for the prophet of God. And he's just going, a grateful man, a faithful man. Everything's right up to this point. Because he was not somebody who just gets healed and takes off like the nine lepers. He had all those things right. But now he's facing this big hindrance where the king of Israel reads that letter and he says, look at that. This guy is troubled. He's coming to me and he's telling me to heal Naaman of his leprosy. And my God, he got all furious over this letter. Because this man was full of me, myself, and I. What the little girl knew, and she conveyed to Naaman, this king of Israel, who was sitting in Israel, as opposed to this little girl who's in Syria as a captive, who knew about the prophet of God and had faith in what God was doing through the prophet. This king was not able to direct Naaman right to this prophet of God. The girl was able to, not him. He got all upset. He's another pawn used by the enemy now against Naaman. Know this for sure. When God has a blessing for you, the enemy will use his pawns in your life to take you out of the blessings of God. He will try using A. If A doesn't cooperate with him, he'll go to B. If B cooperates with him, he'll use B. And according to B, he will stage and line up the rest of his pawns to take your blessing away from you and to take you down if possible. It shouldn't come as a surprise. So now, Naaman's blessing looks like was not going to happen because this man, who should be so happy to say that, yes, your country doesn't have this, but in my country, there is a prophet. He heals. There you go. But he was not like that. He saw that and he got all crazy. He was going to stop the plan of God. Who was he partnering with, even though he was the king of Israel, should be representing God? He actually partnered with the enemy. And he almost stopped the plan of God. But you can't stop the plan of God unless you yourself let the enemy dominate your life. This is where God wants to take you to at this hour. No one in your life can take you out of the plan of God unless you cooperate with the enemy. They can be used by the enemy, but they can't take you out of the plan of God. No one can take your blessing away unless you give room to the enemy. No one can. The king can get angry and scream, jump up and down, but he can't stop what God wants to do in your life if you have no open doors in your life. No open doors. If you know what you want, and if you're going after what you want, and you don't turn to the right or the left, no one can stop you from getting your prize. But if you look all around and every single person says, hey, hi, come here, I want to give you a Coke. Come here, I'll give you this. Come here, I'll give you that. An athlete who is competing in a competition who just looks at every person who is calling and he's stepping out of his track and running to the sidelines is not going to win. Satan will have a whole bunch of people lined up for you to take you out of the blessing of God, to take you down. You have to be aware of that. This king was such a person. Yeah, he was an Israeli king, but he was cooperating with Satan. And he got so angry, so furious, he said, you are coming to fight with me. Everything got twisted in this king's head. You know why? Because he let the enemy work in him. But even that couldn't stop the plan of God from taking place in Naaman's life. That couldn't. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. When you don't let it prosper in your life. You have the key, always remember. You have the key to success. If you use it, you succeed. If you don't use it, you don't succeed. You also have the key to failure. You use it, you fail. You use the key and let the devil in, you will fail. You look at Naaman's life, that Israeli king was not able to bring him down. He couldn't. He couldn't pull a fight, and he couldn't, whatever, you know, he was doing, crazy stuff that he was doing, didn't have any effect on Naaman because God moved. Just like in a chess game, the opponent moves the coin, you move also. Now Satan is moving this man to stop Naaman from getting blessed, because Satan knew if this man goes to the prophet of God, not only is he going to have a way out of this leprosy, but he's going to have a way in into the kingdom of God. So Satan tried everything, but he couldn't stop Naaman from getting blessed because God made the next move. He spoke to his prophet, and the prophet himself said, send him to me. He's jumping up and down as if he came to you for healing. You're not the healer. Send him to me. Let him know that there's a prophet in Israel. This is the connection. when the sick person came to the prophet and he got healed and he knew that there was a prophet in Israel, he came to the prophet and he got healed. Upon his healing, he came to know of the living God. That's the connection. That's what Satan was working so hard to keep from Naaman. So, God moves Elisha because God loved Naaman. Know this for sure. God loves you very much. Otherwise, you won't be here. God loves you so much. And in spite of the moves that the enemy is making, God is making his move to get to you where you need to get to in order for you to receive the healing, the deliverance, the blessing that God has for you. Naaman had faith. Naaman persevered. Naaman was in the right place. Now he has entered Israel. There was this big opposition from the enemy, but God showed up. And the Lord sends this prophet, Elisha, to heal Naaman. So this word is coming from this prophet of God to this king to send him to Elisha. Once the word of God came through the prophet of God to the king, all of a sudden the king, who was all furious and jumping up and down saying that he's trying to put up a fight with me and all this, all of a sudden his whole temperament changed. This is what will happen to God's people. When Satan riles up people and he tries to drag you down and he tries to stop the blessing that God has for you, when you still trust God and you don't respond in a way that would ruin your blessing, God will make the move for you. God himself will make the move for you. And that's what happened to Naaman. God spoke through the prophet and sent a messenger to let the king know, send him to me. Not only that, God changed the heart of the king as soon as the word came from the prophet of God to this king. That was it. The king didn't bother with Naaman anymore. He didn't bother with Naaman's king anymore. None of those things. Now the king is out of the picture. Satan says, I'm not able to stop this. I need to get ahead of this game. Where's the next place Naaman going to go to? I'm going to mess up over there. Know this for sure. Every step of the way towards your blessing, Satan will work through many different people. And it can be through you. This is where God wants you to see. God wants to open your eyes of understanding a little more today, that what the enemy cannot do through others to block your blessing, he can work through you if you cooperate with the enemy. So what happened here? He actually went to the prophet and he got the word of God from the mouth of the prophet. That's a big thing. You got it now. The prophet says, go do this. Now, all of a sudden, he's getting this thought. What? I thought he was going to come out and see me. I'm naming the commander. I thought this prophet will come and give me honor because I'm a commander. I thought he was supposed to come and lay hands on me and pray for me and say, oh, Naaman, welcome to Israel. You traveled this far and came. He thought he was going to have like a very grand welcome. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Because before you inherit the blessing, you will have a test. Where your heart is and how your attitude is very important. Especially when it comes to God's servants. Now, Elisha the prophet did exactly what the Lord told him to. He's a prophet. That's what he does. A real prophet will do that which God tells them to do. They can't do any other way. He told
his servant, go tell him this. It was a good word from God. And I'm sure Elisha would have been so happy for Naaman that Naaman was going to get healed. Elisha was a prophet and he does not regard a person because of their status or where they're coming from. He's there to do the will of God. He's not there to please people. If God tells him to go touch him, lay hands on him and pray for him, he would have done that. If the Lord told him to bring him in, he would have done that. But in this case, God told him, send Gehazi. Tell him to go. Tell him to go immerse himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And you shall be made a good word of the Lord to King. From the prophet of God to Naaman. But what did the devil do there? He said, I couldn't use the king to stop him. That didn't work, but I can try using Naaman against Naaman. So he put this thought in Naaman's head. Look at this. This prophet offended you. He didn't come and see you because you were a Syrian. He insulted you because he didn't even come and say hello to you. He's saying that you go and immerse yourself in the Jordan River. I don't want to even do this now. How do you know what's going to happen now? Look at him. I got offended. He didn't come and greet me. What did Satan do? He came and fed his ego. Because there was room for Naaman there. Naaman was not a believer, by the way. So he came to Naaman and he said, let me appeal to his flesh over here. I can't believe that he didn't give me the importance that I need to have. And so I'm not going to do what the prophet said. Whoa, think about that. Think about that. When we read these things, we'll say, whoa, how can he do that? But many times, people do that today. They give room to the devil. They partner with pride and they lose the blessing of God. They give room to the devil. They partner with immorality. They lose the blessing of God. They give room to the devil. They partner with anger. They lose the blessing of God. What happened here? Naaman. He didn't know anything about spiritual warfare. He didn't know anything about how the devil works. He didn't know anything. All he knew was he got this thought and he entertained this thought, which was, he offended me. This prophet offended me. When a prophet is the mouth of God, what God says, he does. So taking offense to a prophet is a great sin before God, because at that point, you're bad-mouthing God himself. Now he is doing this, but he doesn't know God. See, that's the difference here. So when he did this, you see the love of God. You see how much God wanted to heal Naaman. You see how much God wanted to bless Naaman. In spite of all these things, how much God wanted to see him well. He is offended here. And he gave room to the spirit that brought offense. Now, God is making the next move. Because Naaman doesn't know God. God is moving through Naaman's servants. And this thought is coming to the servants who are beneath Naaman. They're saying, don't be upset like this. This is what the prophet is saying. If it had told you something hard to do, you'd have done it. He's just telling you to go dunk yourself in the river 7 times. Just go do it. Why can't you just do this? You see, the man who felt offended is saying that I have rivers over there in my place and he offended me and he's from this place and all these demonic things Satan brings. To block a person from receiving the blessing that God had for them, for him. So now you see, when the enemies thought, I got this Naaman, I got him good. Now he will not be healed. I pushed him to partner with me so that I can rob him of his healing. And it is done. Satan is like so happy. Because Naaman is like all angry and upset. And he says, I am going back. I'm not going to go to the river. The prophet said this. I'm not doing this. Instead of humbling, that's the right thing to do. He didn't know. He was all upset. I have rivers over there in my place and I can just go. He completely lost sight of why he came there at this point. That's what anger will do. That's what me, myself, and I will do. When that ego is fed, eyes will become blind. When a person thinks about themselves, they'll completely be blinded to what God wants to do. Satan will come and just rob everything and go. So now he's upset. He says, oh, I have lost everything. I came here for this, but look how this prophet is treating me. I could have just taken a bath over there. It's not about taking a bath. It's not for him to clean his wounds, leprosy, no. But it was for God to do a mighty work in him. He didn't know that. But he had room for the enemy to work in him because that ego was there. Things got twisted in his head at that point. Now he says, I'm going back. If he would have gone back, he would have died as a leper. But God, out of his love, he makes the next move. He says, through his servants, if the prophet had told you to do something great, you do not have done it. How much more then? When he says to you, wash and be clean, that's all he said. What are they doing? They're taking the focus off of him coming and touching in, you know, treating him like what he wanted to be treated. He says, just do what he's telling you to do. He gave you the solution to get healed. Just go do it. When God moved his servants to speak to him, you see, Naaman immediately yielded to the voice of God that came through his servants. This is very important for you to know. When the enemy tries to come in and when the enemy tries to drag you down, when the enemy tries to rob your blessing, you have to know that God will give you very clear alarms. God will give you very clear signal. What you're saying is not right. What you're doing is not right. And someone will say, you should be doing this. But many times, many people will say, be quiet. What do you know? You just came yesterday. Be quiet. What do you know? I know more than you. Be quiet. What do you know? You don't know anything. I know what I'm talking about. He did it on purpose. I'm not going to go there. People lose their blessings like that. But Naaman was not like that. Even though he listened to the voice of the enemy briefly, and he gave into that, when the Spirit of God intervened to bless him, and the counsel came from someone insignificant, just like how it came through that little girl before, he listened to the voice of that Hebrew servant girl. Now he is listening to the voice of these servants who are beneath him. You call that humility. The enemy came to use pride to bring him down. God brought humility to lift him up. This is very important for you to know. In order for you to go up, God will tell you to humble yourself so that you can be blessed. Humility is the gateway to receiving God's blessing. So now he listened to the voice of God that came through. These servants were supposedly insignificant in the eyes of people. But he understood the value behind the counsel and he obeyed. He didn't feel like, oh, I have to obey my servants. No. He obeyed a servant girl, his wife's maid, and he came all the way to the place of blessing. Now he's obeying his servants here again. And he's doing what the servant of God told him to do. He received his miracle. Along with this miracle, very important, is verse 15. He returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. Now, the prophet of God, after he passed the test, is seeing him face to face. Not before, but after. The Lord had told him, you can see him now. He's so loving. He's so happy for Naaman. Naaman is so happy. What happened? All that spirit of anger, everything was gone because he gave room to humility. All of a sudden, there's a heart change here. He's so happy because he got healed. He's coming to this prophet of God and he says, very important. Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. No God in all the earth except Israel. Elisha the prophet said, send him to me. Let him know there's a prophet in Israel. I've said this many times. You cannot separate this from God. Because the prophet of God is the mouth of God. The hand of God that brings healing. The mouth of God that speaks the word of God, which carries the healing of God. Through him, through this healing work of God, this man's inner eyes were open to the God of heaven and earth, saying that there's no other God in all the earth except the God in Israel. See how it works? This is how it works. But when people don't see this, they partner with the devil. That's when they'll say, oh, no, you don't have to go there. Why do you have to go all the way to Israel? You can just pray here. The little servant girl, if she would have said that, I know the God of Israel. He can heal you. Just pray over here. Naaman would have died as a leper. She directed him right to where he needed to go to get his healing. And when he met the prophet of God face to face, he was able to share his testimony there. When I got healed, not only was my body healed, but my soul was healed too. I had this revelation that this is the living God. The one who healed me is the living God. There's no one all over the world you can look for who can actually be greater than this living God. He is the real God. He got this revelation. God is speaking at this hour. We're going to finish in a few minutes. Two things are very important here. One is, Satan will try to block your blessings, block God wants to do in your life through others. Two is, if he's not able to succeed with that, he will try to see if he can work through you to block you from receiving your blessing. No one can block you from receiving a blessing. They can try, but they will not prevail unless you partner with the enemy. If you want to be blessed by God, if you want to prosper in the ways of the living God, do not partner with the voice of the enemy. Satan came and spoke, Naaman, twisted thoughts in his mind. To get him offended against the servant of God so that he can lose the blessing of God. Taking offense will cause a person to lose the blessing of God. That's the twist of Satan in the heads of lots of people, to make them lose that which God has for them. Be very careful. Don't partner with the voice of the enemy. Whatever thought Satan will bring to you, oh, what's the use, and you did this, or oh, you're going to fail, and all kinds of things Satan will try to bring. If you don't partner with those voices, those thoughts, then Satan won't succeed. He can try something else, but he won't prevail. He'll try. Keep on trying. But he won't prevail. No weapon that is formed against the enemy shall prosper. He'll form. He'll even throw. But it won't prosper. It won't hit you. It won't cause you any damage, period. But if you partner with the enemy, then he will kill you. He will rob you. He will steal, kill, and destroy. Understand today, no matter what the enemy tries, you just don't partner with him. In your words, in your thoughts, in your actions, don't partner with him. If you partner with him, he will rob you of your blessing. If you don't partner with him, all his attempts will become failed attempts. In this month of May, God has significant blessings for you. God wants to do significant things in your life. Because God wants to do significant things in your life, Satan will come on every level to see how he can block you from your blessings or block your blessings from you. Don't partner with the enemy. When you see Satan move people against you to block you from your blessings, don't react carnally. When you do that, you'll be partnering with the enemy. That's what the enemy will look for. Those who react carnally, immediately they partner with the enemy. You need to step back and pray. When the enemy comes to you to rob you of your blessings, don't partner with the enemy in any way. When you do that, every blessing that God has spoken for the month of May will become yours. Anytime you see hindrances, know that those hindrances are meant to distract you, to rob you, and to destroy you. You need to be fervent in your spirit. Keep your eyes wide open. Understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Whatever problem you may face in the month of May, know that God is going before you. If Satan moves his coin, God will move his coin. He will keep giving favor and he will bring to you that which you need. But you make sure you don't make any carnal moves. Make sure you don't partner with the enemy. Make sure you don't become the cause of your own downfall or failure. If you watch out for these things, every blessing that God has for you will safely come to you. No human, no demon will be able to rob the blessing that God has for you. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word that you gave from heaven. Thank you for what you're going to do in the month of May. Thank you for your spirit who is moving in our midst of this hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wherever you are, you just raise your hands and receive what God wants to give to you at this hour. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Receive right now in Jesus' name. To be successful, to overcome every battle, to have the eyes to see, the ways in which the enemy comes to rob you of your blessings. To be vigilant against your own flesh. That may try to creep up to shut you down. To keep you away from your blessings. God is pouring His Spirit upon you this hour. So that you don't lose, but you win. You're going to win every single time. You're going to win every single time through His mighty power. Hallelujah. Throughout this month of May, God wants you to win every single time. And He's there to cause you to win every single time. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever you do shall prosper. As Naaman went, wherever he went, God prospered him. He gave him good success because God was with him in this month of May. God will prosper you. He'll give you good success. You keep God by your side. You clothe yourself with humility. You simply do what He's telling you to do. God will give you good success. God will give you good success. Hallelujah. And no demon can touch the prosperity that God has for you. No human can take away that which God has for you. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's the word from God of this hour. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. Raise your hands and receive it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I release your presence upon your people, your overcoming power upon your people at this hour, in the name of Jesus. For this month of May, that this entire month be covered with the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the overcoming name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may the power of the Almighty God fall upon your people at this hour. In the name of Jesus, that they may inherit that which you have for them in the month of May. In the name of Jesus. That they may identify the enemy and shut him down every single time. That they may not block their blessings by partnering with the enemy. But they may have the faith to overcome. And use the humility to overcome. And to inherit everything that you have for them in this month of May. Let your mighty power fall on them at this hour. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let the increase that comes from the Almighty God fall upon your people at this hour. In the name of Jesus. That they may increase on every level in Jesus' name. Beginning with soul first. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless their bodies. Bless their soul. Bless their spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Bless their finances. Bless their going out and their coming in. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And each and every single one be people of faith. That every spirit of unbelief may depart in Jesus' name. That they may do the will of God. They may prosper by doing the will of God. That as Jesus Christ took Naaman's name upon his lips and magnified it further to insert his name in the New Testament, may every single person here be found worthy to be exalted by the Lord God Almighty so that they can be a blessing to multitudes. Father, as we read the life of Naaman, the life that was blessed and exalted by God and placed in the scripture, it has blessed our lives and multitudes. So I pray may each and every single person here, may they have the faith and humility to inherit everything that you have for them. And thereby be exalted by the Lord God Almighty so that they can become a greater blessing to multitudes, Lord. With this blessing, I bless your people at this hour. And I thank you for doing this. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen. To Jesus.